Shoes on, get up in the morning, cup of milk, and record a podcast. Hello, my friends. Hello. It's been a long time, and I shouldn't have left you without a dope pod to step to, and I'm sorry. That was a very bad pun of an Aaliyah song, if you guys are old enough to even know that reference. But welcome back to the Awkward Kids K-Pop Podcast. I am your host, OT7, ya dig, now with 3 G's instead of the one on TikTok. Thank you to everyone who has been supporting me recently. We've had a lot of attention, which we will get into very, very shortly. The main reason I bought the podcast back, though, was because I was looking for a way to just continue to give my unfiltered opinions upon K-pop, upon life, music, mental health, whatever I just decide to talk about. And sometimes while I do like TikTok and the platform that it gives, sometimes I would like to have a platform where it could just be me and the people who truly support me for the most part. And I don't have to worry about so much of the trolls who are just looking for comments and reactions from someone who has more followers and you know, that sort of cat and mouse game. Also, was super inspired by the group of lovely ladies who started their own K-pop podcast, K-Pop Unfiltered, with lovely Monroe and a bunch of other lovely ladies on TikTok. So make sure you go follow them on YouTube. I think it's K-Pop Unfiltered is what it comes up as. They've got a pretty good start. So I'm very, very happy for them, and seeing them kind of dive in, into it, let me know that, like, I can't stop talking about the issues in this space, and I've been gifted a platform in this space and should continue to use it for the betterment of the people and for the betterment of myself. So with that being said, we are going to dive head into my first topic, which is piggybacking off of, you know, black people in this space, speaking up when cultural appropriation happens. There is still a huge problem in K-pop of cultural appropriation of artists and labels who feel like they can take black culture and nothing's going to happen and people won't say things and they can just kind of do as they please. And even if that isn't how they think about it, that's how it comes off when you see situations, as I'm referring to Jay Park in this DNA video. When you think about the term DNA or like you're talking about, like, DNA, it usually stems back to, like, what's in your blood and like what you're made of, right? And so for a Korean man to have a music video talking about he loves where he comes from, it's in his DNA, but the music video has people with afros and rags and it's very much stereotypical hip hop, like, you know, stolen culture with the corn rolls and everything. It made me wonder, like, whose DNA are you trying to be a part of, Jay Park? And this is my issue with Jay Park and the artist like Jay Park. You clearly take so much of your style from hip hop. I do understand you grew up in America and you grew up in the hip hop culture, and that's fine. But it's as Russ said, and I believe Russ said this best. Excuse me. He said that for anybody who is a non-black person in this space, you have to understand that you are a guest in the house of hip hop, and that your presence here is not always needed, and sometimes you have to move in different spaces. Like, and I feel like Jay Park just doesn't understand that. As much as we as black people have tried to support him for the most part, as much as we black people have tried to guide him in the right direction so he doesn't say and do, like, stupid stuff anymore, it just seems like he just says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I get it," and then continues to, like, do it over and over again. And after a while, for me, it seems as though he does this really for the shock value of it all. He does it for the oohs and ahs, and because Jay Park music just doesn't not naturally go viral like that. I mean, it does well, but it does not reach, like, the high levels of American success I think he would like sometimes, if we're being honest. So I think sometimes these fake controversies or these situations where you have, like, this DNA music video come up because they like the attention that it brings. And I had no plans of making a video to the Jay Parks situation. I really did not plan to even kind of talk about it. That was until I saw his BS apology in the comments of the YouTube video. It really pissed me off because it was so smug. Like clearly people are calling you out. Clearly you see this isn't going well. And you have to give some smug opinion about like the backstory of hip hop and how much you love and appreciate it. Homie, let me tell you something. When called out upon cultural appropriation, if your first thought is to overly explain why you culturally appropriated something, you have missed the point of why you're being called out. It also shows you don't have a freaking publicist in this world. Excuse me, I'm a fucking, and this is my podcast, so I can cuss. It shows me that you don't have a fucking publicist, Jay Park. It shows me that you don't actually know what the fuck you are doing sometimes. You just open your big fucking mouth when you probably should shut the fuck up. Sorry, I wanted to say that for a long fucking part time to Jay Park. I wish he would just shut the fuck up. I don't give a fuck who hears this shit. Say that right now. So, when I saw his bullshit apology, I decided that, you know what? Fuck it. I'll make a video. But I wanted to be petty about it. So that's why I green screened a portion of the video that I felt was most black people-ish. And also wanted to make sure I did it over the official audio to the song on TikTok, making sure that it stayed high on the algorithms of that audio simply because it didn't have a lot of videos and I have a decent amount of followers. And when I made the Jay Park video, I understood it was going to ruffle a few feathers. And when I posted it, I thought it'd get a couple thousand likes, maybe 5,000 to 10,000 views, you know, just because of my size, subject matter. I knew it would be a decent video. I had no idea it would get to like almost 10,000 likes and the arguments in the comments before I cut the comments off, which I'll get to that in a second. I think right now it's up to like over like 50 or 60,000 views or whatever. And the reason why I cut the comments off was because there was more arguing in the comments and people were just being ridiculous. I can take anyone not liking me. I can take anyone not agreeing with my opinions at this point, you know, in my quote unquote internet famous life. Trust, I've heard everything about myself, good and bad. So I have truly taken the advice of one of my favorite people in the world, Lil Duval, who always says, "You're not as bad as people say you are, and you're probably not as good as people say that you are either." And you can kind of stay in that middle ground, then you'll stay really humble and stay balanced. So the comments don't really affect me, but it was really irritating, especially to see the comments from young women of color who were all under 21. I could tell they were super young, who were like defending this and wanted to call me a clown and a coon for like calling it out. First of all, you will never tell me as a black person that I don't have a right to be offended. You can take that Terry Crews ass get out energy somewhere else. Just because you're okay with cultural appropriation or you're one of those black people that don't see an issue with it doesn't mean you speak for all of us. Speak for you. Don't speak for me. And furthermore, you will never make me feel bad for feeling how I feel. Just like I don't make you feel bad for feeling your whack-ass opinions. All right? Second of all, the amount of people who felt the need to like drag my music into it. And I was like, what does my music or like my level of music have anything to do with it? Am I the most popular artist in the world right now? No. But let's be clear. Right now, I'm not pumping pretty much any money into my music, and I'm still doing pretty decently on Spotify. Like, I'm still doing almost as well as I was doing pumping money into my music. Meaning my songs are starting to just naturally take off now, which is kind of the idea. And even without that, I've still done over 400,000 streams in 90 countries, and I didn't pay for those. That's just good marketing, and you can only, you know, go so far. You can pay for streams, but those are all deleted, and those songs have been deleted. So at this point, there is no like real way to kind of like fake streams, nor would I ever do that. So I'm very proud of the level I'm at because my goal is to own my music. I don't want to have to, you know, have someone else tell me when I can make music or when I can drop it or things like that. It just it's not right for me personally. So I don't understand like why my level of musical success got brought into the Jay Park conversation, or why people felt it was okay to like drag my rapping abilities or skills, which is just crazy because someone literally like listened to all my songs just to like drag me, and I was like, okay, like cool, thanks for listening. Like I like K-pop stands and this weird energy that y'all have when someone doesn't like one of your faves, or when someone just naturally disagrees with something, is the dumbest thing ever. And I've never quite understood why K-pop stands just get so mad when people do not like their faves. Like, guys, like, it's okay to not like everything that someone does. And that's a part of K-pop that I truly, 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 honestly wish we could kind of just get over and get past and not have to worry about anymore. It's just a crap load of people who really and truly, honestly, don't go outside and don't have a lot of friends outside of the internet and connect their self-worth to these artists for some odd reason. And that's why when I say things like Jay Park is trash, they get all offended and think I'm attacking them. Because you have no outside life and it feels like I'm attacking a portion of you. That's fine. I get that. I'm just here to say that you will never silence me. You will never take away something from me that you didn't help build. So you can duet and stitch and call me a coon and call me out, do whatever you want to. You didn't help build this, so you can't take it away from me. All right. Moving on from anything related to Mr. J Park, because I don't want to talk about that anymore. BTS is back. And you know, BTS comeback season is just an amazing time. Generally, big tongue problems. I truly, honestly love being a BTS stan because I believe that the at its heart, there's a pretty dope group of people who are BTS stans who are very loving and understanding. And sure, there's crazy people out there who are BTS stans, but there's crazy people who are into everything. And I never take that more than, you know, anything else. So it's very interesting to see how BTS is doing this this rollout. There seems to be a very, very, very big focus on like singles rather than like a push for an album. We have not even heard a like rumbling of an album date yet. Like, we're still pushing Butter very hard, and the next single's coming out soon. So we understand like same thing. Like they haven't even discussed an album date, or they haven't publicly discussed one yet. That's one thing. All the concept photos we have gotten for Butter and all like the different little behind the scenes stuff, it really shows that there is a want to continue the success of Butter. And why not? Butter is number one in the country for 5 weeks in a row. And I think it goes deeper than that. It's kind of like what they were talking about on the V Live yesterday, when they were saying how they were, you know, weren't sure if it didn't debut at number one or if it did and like left quickly, would people start to say like the BTS effect or the BTS hype is like ending? And that's kind of where BTS is at that place. Like number one for five straight weeks, like when you're doing things no one else has ever done or haven't done since like Despacito, like when you're entering that level of songs, you have to kind of think what comes next after this. Because if we're being honest, BTS will probably never have a run like this ever again. It's very, very rare for you to have another year or a year and a half where you put up, what, 4 to 5 number one songs in a year and a half? Yeah, that's crazy. Like, it doesn't happen, one, because going forward, the algorithms probably won't let it. And two, like, once other people realize, like, how much you could do it, too, it's probably they'll change it. Like, success changes things around here. And what I mean by that is only thing that BTS did was start playing the game. They were always big enough to have number one singles before the last 10 months or so. They just weren't willing to completely play the American label industry game to like get there. And the moment they threw their hat in that ring and finally started putting out like all English songs or not even that, just started to really like just promote and use the same loopholes that all these American labels and artists do. You saw how their songs started debuting at number one. They started, you know, taking off more. And I feel like Butter right now is just going to stay at number one for at least 6 weeks. And they're going to and you could tell they want their Grammy. They want their respect. And, you know, regardless of how I feel about the Grammys or the Scammies, as most of us call it, I do understand what it holds and I mean the significance that it holds for a career in this industry. So I do understand why it's still something that a lot of artists want and work towards. So I hope they get it for their sakes. I don't think it changes much if they don't, honestly. But I do understand that when you're working towards goals and you know, as we always say jokingly, what Yugi wants, Yugi gets. And Yugi has said he wants a Grammy, so I'm sure there'll be one eventually. But going back to the conversation, just the success of Butter and the success of BTS recently from like, you know, movie trailers and TV and McDonald's meals, and the marketability of BTS has skyrocketed while somehow they have not been here in the past year, really. If you think about that, you see and hear BTS way more in America now than you ever have. Yet they have not stepped foot in America in like over a year. Like that is crazy. And it comes to the success of music, the success of songs like Butter, which show their marketability, their ability to hear to an audience. It's not a coincidence that Butter sounds like Dynamite. It's supposed to, if we're being honest. Like, that's usually how it goes. Once you figure out how people like you to sound, once you figure out what gets stuff selling, people generally want to do it again. You know, even someone like me, I may sound one way in my music now, but if I have a song that is like super duper lo-fi or, you know, whatever else I get into that goes viral and makes me a lot of money, I may end up making more songs that sound like that simply because of that, you know, that same purpose. So it's not selling out for not selling out per se, but you go where the money is in this industry. And right now the money for BTS is in all English songs. Could you make a case that these songs don't sound very like K-poppy? Sure. You could make that case that BTS doesn't sound very K-poppy anymore, and I have heard a lot of fans, you know, say how much they miss the old BTS, which has brought up a lot of fan wars, which are just something that I don't understand. Like, I do get it. In hip hop, there definitely have been fan wars and wars between cliques and gangs and everything else. So I definitely am one to understand how gangs and how not gangs, but yeah, it is a gang mentality or how cliques, you know, work. Most of us have been in high school or have, you know, or have friendship groups, and so you understand that people of like minds think to together. But one, the fan wars in just the army itself, which are BTS fans, if you don't know that, it's just really irritating because of the fact that army acts as if you're not allowed to have a outside opinion, meaning like you're not allowed to like not like BTS in some way, or you're not allowed to like not have a favorable opinion of them. And sometimes you have to understand that everyone who, just because someone does not have a favorable opinion of someone, that is not disrespectful. Just because someone says they feel like BTS makes trash music, that's not trashing BTS as an artist or saying that they don't deserve success. Because I feel the same way about plenty of artists that I feel make trash music that I just won't listen to. That doesn't mean I don't see you as successful. That don't mean I don't value you as a person or wouldn't have a drink with you. I just don't listen to your music because I think it's trash. A lot of people are like, a lot of people have no issues with BTS. And they don't hate them. They aren't xenophobic towards Asians. They just genuinely do not think they make good music. And that is fine. It is fine. Do I agree with it all the time? No. But as I've talked to more and more people, like, I've learned, like, that is a general opinion. And sometimes K-pop stands, because once again, K-pop stands connect a lot of artists to their, like, life's worth. They take it as, like, a personal attack of who they are, and people are calling them trash. And it's just not that. It's just saying that not everything is for everybody. And the point of this segment is just to say the K-pop Karens and the fan wars between, you know, armies and like, other fandoms, like Blinks, whatever else, it's just so much, and it's not needed. Because behind the scenes, a lot of these artists are friends with each other. And they talk to each other. So for me, I feel stupid engaging in a fan war, knowing fully well my favorite artists and their favorite artists are probably actually cool with each other. And we're just the ones out here looking stupid, fighting over things that while I understand matter, in the grand scheme of things, like, probably don't to your life. Like, I do understand fan wars have purpose, and I do understand that a lot of them at the heart have a lot of, they have a lot of things that need to be talked about, and if you're going to exist in this space, you should have an opinion about. I just don't think that all these fan wars have to have so much life. Like, the amount of people who DM me on fucking TikTok talking about fan wars between this people and those people, sometimes I just want to say, bro, I respect it, but I truly don't care. And I'm not even trying to be mean. I just don't care. Like, I'm 28 years old, guys. I don't have time to worry about why in hyphen stands are mad at us, or why, you know, or why Monsta X stands think this and that. I don't have time for it. I listen to the music, I like music, and I keep it there. And if we can engage in healthy conversations going forward, then I feel like we will be fine. But we have to avoid these K-pop Karens who get mad at everything. I want to spend the last couple minutes of the podcast this week especially addressing the amount of white women in my comments recently who have been so vocal about everything I have said. If you have an issue with a young black man of color speaking up about a industry using his culture for a profit, and if you're mad that I'm saying something and not just clapping and going along, you're the same as a slave owner back in the day oppressing people. And if that ruffles somebody's feathers today, I truly hope it does. I'm sick and tired of getting DMs and comments from you K-pop Karens mad every single time I talk about race and K-pop, or talk about being black in K-pop. Y'all just have to get over it and understand that I am a black person with a platform in K-pop. And if you hate that, then come take it from me. Y'all have a good week. I love y'all. My name is OT7, yeah, dig. Operator 16. My name is Chase. Please remember to love yourself, be kind to yourself, eat, sleep, pray, do whatever you have to do to keep your mental health sane. Take time for yourself. And above all else, guys, just make sure that you're happy in your life. If 2020 showed us anything, is that life needs to be lived in the happiest way that it can be. And you don't need to be overly stressed about anything that you don't have to be, because you never know when life can change in an instant. Love you guys.